I'm going to call the March 5th meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Green?
Here.
Legislator Litz? Legislator Nolan?
Here.
Legislator Stewart?
Here.
Thanks for coming, everyone. It's a nice, busy meeting. It's nice to see. I think I would like to start with the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee's charge, the founding mission, so that we all have a more clear understanding of the committee and what our role is. The EES, welcome, Legislator Litz. The EES is the EES committee is our charge is to set policy and review contracts pertaining to the Department of the Environment, Environmental Management Council, Fish and Wildlife Management Board, and Forest Practice Board, including the protection of waterways and the county's recycling efforts. To set policy and review contracts pertaining to, but not limited to, the activities of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. If any members of the committee would like a copy of that, just let me know. I think, Liz, would you mind just sharing that with us? Okay, I'd like to have approval for the January 30th meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion. Second.
Okay, any discussion on the minutes, January 30th? We have the motion to approve and the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? It's approved. Okay, we'll start with resolution for March 19 legislative session. Resolution number 82, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $45,246, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 and entered into by the county. Barton and LaJudas, DPC, Department of Finance.
I'll move it.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Is there any discussion or questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
You talked about its brownfields program. Where is this located?
Anyone from the planning department able to address that?
Sure. There are multiple properties that the county essentially has been taken as it relates to foreclosures or foreclosure eligible properties. They're scattered around the county. And the thought was that as part of this, that we would go in and we took TIOs, temporary incidents of ownership, so we could go in and test those properties. And so they're not any particular property or any particular location. There are those. I think there's somewhere around 25 or 30 properties that we're looking at, and they're split between two sets of consultants. And the reason for the increase is that we're looking at, we've done the phase one work on these properties. We're now looking at phase two, and we have additional costs associated with phase two. I would say that one of the things that we have found that we were, that the work that we did to essentially remove these properties from foreclosures because of the potential for liability at the county level if we took them has borne out on the phase ones and the work that we're doing right now.
So it's multiple pieces of property.
Correct. I should have just said that, right?
No, that's fine.
Thank you.
And this is entirely covered by federal funding?
It's ARPA money. That's correct.
Any additional questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Resolution is adopted. Resolution number 83, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $31,544, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county, Labella Associates, DPC, Department of Finance.
I'll move it.
Second. Any discussion or questions?
So this is the one that's at the Government Operations Center?
No.
So if I can, this is just, remember I said there were two sets of consultants involved in the brownfield program. This is the second set of consultants that are working on another several properties. I think there's 10 or 15 involved in the Lobella contract. So there's two sets of consultants working on the two different sets of properties.
And is the government operations under one of them?
No.
No. Okay.
These are only involved with foreclosure eligible properties.
Got it.
Any additional questions or comments or discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Resolution is adopted. Resolution number 84, amending capital project number 644, site ready services for electric vehicle charging stations, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works and Department of the Environment.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion, questions? Question. Dennis, would you have answers on this one?
You're open, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to introduce myself. I'm your open McGovern, the director of the Department of the Environment, and first committee meeting of the year. So,
welcome.
Nice to meet you all. So, basically, I had actually wanted to ask the chair, and I apologize I didn't earlier, is can we consider possibly resolution number 5 on the agenda, which is the resolution of 87?
Yeah.
In conjunction with this one, because I think they're paired. One's for the authorizing the grant voucher application, and the second is the capital to approve the equipment purchase.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
You want to describe both?
Yes, so I'll dive in.
Let's do it one at a time.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the charging stations.
Yes, yeah, so resolution number 87, which is 5 on the agenda, is to authorize the our Department of the Environment to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Energy, Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Program. This is a formula grant. The county has basically allocated about $81,050, I believe. This is, you know, something we didn't have to apply for the allocation, but we do have to apply for the grant. So this would be to authorize the Department of the Environment to submit a voucher application to purchase the equipment, which resolution number 3 on the agenda, item 3, that is resolution number 84, would be authorizing your accompanying capital project to, you know, accommodate that equipment purchase. The equipment itself is for the Lean EV ARC mobile charging station. That should be in your backup documentation. Basically, it's a mobile charging station paired with a backup battery system, fleet or public EV charging stations, 2 ports, and then also a solar panel. So it's kind of neat, and also a trailer, so you can transport it anywhere. Multiple county facilities would be the priority to support fleet charging. Try it out, try new locations for fleet and maybe public charging, and as well as supporting emergency response efforts, especially joint power outputs, because it also has charging outlets and a hub. So during power outages, the solar would be charging the battery. And then at nighttime, hopefully the battery would be charged, and then you could continuously use power still. So it sort of functions as a generator.
Nice. And these physical locations like the Ulster County Development Court, Trudy Resnick, and the courthouse, would the mobile unit go to those places?
So I apologize for any confusion. So that's the number 4 on the agenda. That's for the amendment with Livingston Energy. That's sort of separate. That's also about EV charging stations. But that's sort of a separate project.
And that adds to the amount of stations the county has?
Yes, we're continuously expanding the network. So basically this, like I said, authorizing the grant voucher application, that's like resolution 87, and then resolution 84 would be amending the capital to increase the, to accommodate for that purchase of that new work equipment.
And then it looks like 86 between the two is for Livingston Energy.
Yes.
Okay, any questions?
Yeah, it's more of a comment than a question, and I'm really glad to see this. I just want to point out that the idea of solar with battery backup is something that we should be considering for all the emergency services in the county. And the other thing is that
I've had a lot of difficulty with the current vendor, and I think it's an issue for the whole industry that the card that you use to start the charging is unique and not standard. So if I go to a train station, I have to use a different system. And I don't know that there's much we can do about it, but to whatever degree, simplifying the ability to plug your car in would be really valuable. So I don't know how much you can negotiate that, but it is a downside to this entire industry if we're going to really switch to electric vehicles.
Just like to suggest there's a market opportunity for you to enter into
in my spare time. In your spare time.
But then you'd have to recuse yourself on voting.
Well, I can speak to that just to say that I'm also an EV driver. I understand that that's obviously a systemic issue that we can't solve in Ulster County government. But basically on the table today, this EV ARC would be using ChargePoint, which is one of the two existing networks that the county hosts. The second one, which is regarding item number 4, resolution 86, is Livingston, is the second network. So basically, we're trying to limit the amount of cards, networks, vendors for all of our sakes.
Any other questions about the physical charging stations at the development court, Trudy Resnick, courthouse, and multiple sites? Resolution 84. We're still on 84.
84 is the mobile, isn't it?
No, that's the next one.
Okay.
So we're going to get through the physical ones at number 84. But any questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Resolution passes. 7-0. Okay. Resolution number 86, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $173,603 entered into by the county with Livingston Energy Group, LLC.
I'll move it.
And a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion or questions? So we already have our description.
I was just going to say, I think it's important for us to pass these resolutions to provide the electric charging infrastructure that is required to really get us to the next step in getting us off of fossil fuels. So I'm all for these resolutions dealing with electric vehicle charging stations.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Resolution passes 7-0.
And if I may just add something else, this also, by building up this infrastructure, it will prevent situations that happened like recently when one of our school districts received a humongous grant from the federal government to provide electrical buses for their students. And unfortunately, they ended up not taking that grant because they did not have this infrastructure in place already. So again, that just underscores the importance of getting this infrastructure built and online so that people can, like I say, make the change away from fossil fuels.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Moving on to resolution number 87, authorizing the Department of the Environment to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Energy, Energy Efficient and Conservation Block Grant Program.
Move it.
Second. Anyone want a second? Rich? Let's say any discussion or questions? This is, we already got the description. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Resolution passes 7-0. Resolution number 88, authorizing submittal of various electrical vehicle and EV charging station rebate and grant applications, Department of the Environment and Public Works. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion or questions?
This is wonderful.
those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Resolution passes 7-0. Okay, we're going to move on to, after the resolution section, we'll start with a potential forthcoming resolution. So far, we don't have the proposed language in front of us, but Legislator Green has been working with the state and other counties and NYSERDA, other agencies, on the concept of achieving 70% renewables by the year 2030. So, Legislator Green, do you want to address the potential resolution?
Yeah, and we still need to fill in the gaps for what positions will be appointed under this resolution. We want to carry over the people that have volunteered and are very actively working in the, let's see, Ulster County 70 by 30 Renewable Energy Implementation Working Group, the Renewable Energy Working Group. And we have committed to create a plan for widespread stakeholder and public input over the course of the summer. The plan will be ready in June, and then we'll take that and incorporate that input and then issue a final plan how to get from where we are now to 70 by 30.
So can you just step back so that I'm following what you say? We're talking about a plan for Ulster County on power, electricity, vehicles, everything?
Renewable energy generation. And that's because, in my observation, the state is putting a lot of emphasis on what's called beneficial electrification of buildings and transportation. And that's going to increase the demand. The county executive is already working on achieving 70 by 30, and I think they're actually looking at 100 by 30 for Ulster County buildings and property. This would be for the entire county. It would not be mandatory. It would be recommendations how to get there. And the first step is that we're asking all the towns in the county to look at their property and define what would be good areas for solar or other renewable generation and battery storage to ensure reliability. And then we'll help provide the data, we'll help provide the incentives. I think in Marbletown, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure what Tom Conrad has been able to do by using existing funding sources to raise $100,000 toward perhaps a municipal project. We're also going to be dealing with interconnection issues, et cetera. But we will try to present a plan that is workable. And right now, many of the counties have already used the solar mapping tool, the SenaCutson solar mapping tool, to look at their property and start defining projects. That includes New Paltz, Rosendale, Hurley, Kingston is in the process, et cetera. And we're asking that every town in the county do some proactive planning to ensure wise siting so that we're not covering over prime farmland and farmland can use agrivoltaics and it can be compatible and it can actually help some farmers to have revenue to stay in business. But this is, again, not a mandatory program. It's a program, if you don't think about it, it won't happen. That's why we have a planning department and we're trying to make a plan specifically for Ulster County
And when we were at the Association of Towns, I challenged any other county in the state to be in a healthy competition with Ulster County to achieve 70 by 30. So this concept was developed and essentially approved last year, and there is an active working group, and we will be presenting a resolution. We have a draft resolution, needs to be tweaked a little, to formalize this the same way, for example, the legislature created the Climate Smart Committee. Right now, this is a kind of informal working group that was appointed by the previous chair of the legislature, but it is a group of people that are highly knowledgeable and have been either successful in creating projects, helping to fund projects, finding funding for projects, and this working group, which I affectionately call a brain trust, is going to try to figure out how we can do this countywide. And there are many municipalities that are already actively working on this. So the goal is this year to have a plan, to have the municipalities having looked at and developed a proposal for how to get there. And not everybody's going to achieve 70 by 30, and some will achieve 100 by 30. But it's putting the attention to it, and what you put your attention to is what grows. So any other questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Some new legislators who haven't been engaged in this conversation. The goal is to have the county itself or the towns within the county, or both of those, 70 by 30. I wasn't clear if it's a county objective or all municipalities within the county objective, or both. That's the first question. Second question is, what is the focus of the resolution going to be? Is it going to be creating a subcommittee, or is it going to be actually funding development of renewable energy? So that's unclear to me exactly where it's.
Let me answer in the reverse order.
Okay.
It's to create. I don't know whether it would be called a working group or a task force, but to formalize it. The folks who are actively working on it have been appointed because that was within the jurisdiction of the chair. But if the legislature empowers this group, I think that the recommendations, and there'll be first draft recommendations, and we will seriously consider all input because we want it to work, and then come out with a final report in September that may have some very specific and concrete recommendations. But right now it's to, in a very similar way to the way the Climate Smart Committee functions, mm-hmm. that it would make recommendations to the executive branch, to the legislature and the executive branch on climate actions. This would be focused on achieving that goal of 70 by 30, which is the first level of New York's Climate Act. And in terms of, is it countywide or for the municipalities? So far, unless this changes, and what is embodied in the resolution is the goal that each town and the city will achieve 70 by 30. But it's a goal, it's a recommendation, it's a getting people to pay attention and figure out what makes sense. And then collectively, we would achieve 70 by 30, but it's really functioning at the it's providing support to municipalities to pay attention to how they can contribute to the countywide goal.
Okay, so the countywide goal is separate from the municipal, so there's 23 different goals, essentially.
Yeah,
Yes, and they're all the same, and some will overachieve and some will underachieve. But that way, across the county, folks are paying attention, because one of the reasons I think that we're unlikely to achieve this statewide unless we take this kind of action, and then we're going to end up with lots of EVs and lots of heat pumps, and that could mean more fossil fuel burned or other undesirable sources, you know, more pressure on the grid. And the other thing this will do is define the obstacles. By everyone really trying to do this, we can see what recommendations we need to make to the state, for example, around exorbitant interconnection costs. And when I say exorbitant, that doesn't mean they're not real. It means that the state may have to help with them.
And I think over time, over the next month, we'll have more time for questions as we all see the language of the resolution. We've already started to get some feedback, and you have a letter in your packet from the Woodstock Climate Smart Committee. So we're already getting more information and feedback. By next month, I think we'll have even better questions.
And I just do want to say one thing on that letter, and that is just to stress that this is not mandatory. It's an implementation plan that can guide the process, but we're not, at least not right now, and I don't expect that this group will be asking the legislature to require the municipalities to do anything, but to look at what's possible and start to identify real projects.
Next on the agenda, I wrote Amanda LaValle because we spoke last week at the conference, but I think it's more appropriate for Director McGovern to just again introduce yourself and let us know what you know about our relationship with the Department of the Environment.
I mean, I can defer to Amanda. Perfect. Her name is on the agenda, yeah. But I'm here too. So, introduce yourself. You know, we're happy to be here and always support and explain the resolutions that are before you, and also any questions you may have regarding policy. So I attend meetings on a regular basis, and if I don't directly know the answer or if the group is not here, we're always happy to get any kind of information or answers or particular to this last point of discussion, I did want to share that one of the main work items of the Department of the Environment through this year is efforts around a community climate action plan, which was an effort, which was a project that's been funded by the New York State DEC, and we'll be kicking off with some public outreach, public meetings this spring. But it's really meant as the next step in some of the climate action planning that the Department of the Environment and the counties have done, which historically has been particularly focused around government operations and government buildings, but this is kind of looking at what might that role in of the Ulster County government be more broadly in the community. Speak a little more in detail about that. Not, you know, we will have a website for that project, as well as, again, public outreach and other kinds of public input opportunities.
Great. I think that's a great overview, and I just wanted to make sure each committee member knows how we can reach out to you.
And is that website up already, or when will that be up?
Forthcoming. Probably, I would say, by the end of April.
Okay.
For the participants. Doing an internal kickoff next week, various departments, everybody who has a different piece of it, and so kind of building from there.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I have one more little comment, if I may. some of the research that we are doing for the 70 by 30 is actually being done already for the climate action plan, and that is to understand what the county as a whole and what each municipality, what their demand is, what the load, what the electric load is, so we know 70% of what. And so I think that although their mission is a little different, and I might have said that wrong, so you can correct me, but the mission is a little different, and our role is policy, and the executive branch does implementation, but the fact that we're working together and coordinating, I think, is one of the things that's going to make it really work.
Exactly.
Did you want to get something? Very quickly. Sure. So one of the things you have to do with a community-wide climate action plan is to have an inventory and assessment of what your mission is. So we've taken care in our process to do that at the county level that we have broken it down at the municipal level. That also be available to the towns on the dashboard. That will support 70 by 30. It will also support host of different community climate action planning initiatives. But again, that the thing is here, we have to do it by a county, at a county scale. We're going to take one extra step of effort so that we can empower municipalities with information and that they can proceed with their own planning efforts as well.
Thank you. Additional questions? Thank you. Also, I added an agenda item at the last minute. I put UCRRA update for new director Mark Ryder to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about the RRA.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
My name is Mark Ryder, for those of you that don't know. Yesterday was my first day at the agency, so very excited. Reached out to a legislator who is, and just made sure that we're on the agenda every month. The only updates I really have for today is that we had a grand reopening ceremony for our tipping floor yesterday. We've been working on it for the last 4 or 5 months since November. Every 10 to 12 years or so, we have to redo the concrete and the paving and everything on the floor. So up until yesterday, we had been down to half operations. We have to always continue to operate. So we shut down half of it, redid the floor, let it cure for a month, shut down the other half, redid it. We were ready to reopen as of yesterday. This was all done by an in-house construction team, working also with bonded concrete, but saving the agency about $400,000 compared to 10 years ago when we had to do it. We also went down 12 to 18 inches, which should save us from doing this again for another 12-ish years. So that was exciting, and looking forward to, you know, working with you all in whatever ways the agency can moving forward. Like I said, I'm in day two, so I make sure I came by this meeting and reintroduced myself.
Great. Excellent. And congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome in this role.
Thank you very much. I put new business, parks, public spaces, and recreation department.
Is there anything on the reform committee?
Yes, that's coming up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I didn't want that presentation to be in that conversation.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you. Each of you have a... Oh, no, I have packets for you. As you mostly know, we created a budget amendment in December to hire a director of parks by July, Parks, Public Spaces, and Recreation Department. And working with a variety of legislators over time, I'm learning how to slow down and make sure the executive branch is ready for such a department, is willing to work with us, and that we do things in proper order. So what I have here to share with each of you is a new outline I've been working on. Last year, I shared this draft proposal with most of you. And so the language here is slightly outdated, and I'm hoping to update everything. That's what this outline is. And then this is the local law that is in draft form that could create the department. Now we're able to hire a director of parks by July because of the budget amendment. It's in the budget. but these packets will help us, I think, keep the idea in the realm of the environment because of something that Legislator Green mentioned. When we talked about caring about the Hudson River, it took the Sloop Clearwater and Pete Seeger and a dedicated effort of thousands of people to educate people about the Hudson River. And that created a love for the river that made people want to clean it up. So this department, in a way, is helping us create a love for the land that our, I think this committee is, it's in our jurisdiction to really embrace that love of the land. So we don't have to discuss it at length because you're all just seeing this. Take it home, read it. You've mostly seen the second part of the packet already. Is that everybody?
I think better.
Jeff, you get one?
I did not.
So the real thing to capture here is the first four things. We already know that we can hire director of parks when the executive branch is ready. So I want to work with Amanda and others to finalize a job description, make sure it's what everybody wants. Form a stakeholder group to advance the Parks Public Spaces Recreation Department proposal that is this, it's just not written yet. It's going to become a more robust proposal. Hire director of parks by July, and then empower and guide that director as much as possible after handing off this proposal. So I'm trying to make sure we don't overstep our legislative duties because we are a appropriating body and focus on creating departments, budgets, and we're not going to be running a parks department. The executive branch runs the parks department. Early discussions with the director of parks in Dutchess County helped me learn that that is run by the Department of Public Works. So it's within DPW. There's a lot to learn and discuss. So right now, I'll just go over this page only and you'll bring these home with you. I think I'm going to point out something here in legislative intent. It's a really important paragraph. I added the words embraces native wisdom. I think this hasn't been done yet in the parks department, so I'm going to read that whole sentence. The Ulster County Legislature hereby finds and determines that it is necessary to establish a Department of Parks, Public Spaces, and Recreation to develop a cohesive parks plan that highlights the diverse flora and fauna of Ulster County, incorporates edible landscapes and food forests, embraces native wisdom, and provides enjoyable opportunities to experience the outdoors. So I think we're creating a very unique and innovative parks department, and please let me know if you have any feedback on the local law. Then I'll just go over the other sections after timeline. We're talking about potential priorities of the department to support town, village, and city parks. Number two, to secure and create connector park in southern Ulster that would connect the Gunks and the Catskills. And build food resilience into our parks and community buildings. Then department focus areas would be parks, obviously. I'll read each of these because they're short. Parks, the PPSR department will be able to develop and maintain world-class innovative parks with a focus on serving local residents, while visitors to the area will also enjoy the county, city, town, and village parks, incorporating edible landscapes. Public spaces. The pandemic taught us how important public spaces are to our communities for staying healthy, engaging with our neighbors, and clearing our minds. The PPSR department will play a role in securing funding to improve and maintain our county's trail networks, access to waterways and swimming opportunities, vibrant sidewalk areas, and community gathering spaces like gazebos and plazas. I wrote the word funding there. It's very important because right now we can't apply for parks funding. We don't have a parks department. We're not eligible for any state or federal parks funding. Oh, we can?
Yeah.
Oh, I learned that from you, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. We can apply.
Okay. Does this help us apply for more funding, having the department?
Well, it will help you tease out what funding you should apply for.
Ah.
That's the
key. Because we have someone focused. Gotcha. Thank you. Recreation. Certain towns within Ulster County will become leaders in teaching the county how to build a robust recreation department. The town of Rochester has strong programs. I'm a little biased. The town of Rochester has strong programs in child care, senior services, field trips, nature walks, movie nights, and much more. These services will be developed on a countywide scale through the PPSR department. The creation and upkeep of playgrounds, soccer fields, pickleball courts, and more will also be managed by this wing.
So you're envisioning that the, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I think this was the start of a conversation, and thank you for starting the conversation. But this last part it seems to envision that Ulster County would manage municipal resources. Am I misreading that?
Yeah, we wouldn't manage it. We would learn from the robust system.
So the sharing of best practices and opportunities. So some of that language, I think, might need to be worked out as we go along.
Okay, thank you. And Slater Stewart?
I was going to add, I think that, I think all this sounds great, and I'm totally in favor of it. It just seems like the trail network is getting kind of short shrift here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need some language that would, you know, acknowledge the role that the trail network plays.
Mm-hmm.
And should play in this department, I think. I think that one of the issues that we always hear in the legislature about the trail network as it stands now is that, you know, municipalities there's always concerns about, you know, how maintenance is going to be performed. And I think that we need to have language in here that would provide funding for maintenance of our trail network.
Great. Just to address that, in this was a real quick paragraph,
right.
And we say here secure funding to improve and maintain the county's trail networks and then access to waterways.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you. Legislative balance?
I want to pull on that too. Woodstock is attempting to connect the middle of Woodstock to the rail trail. Hard project to do. We can't do it without the county involvement. And that's, I think, an appropriate place to put that into.
Thank you. I think one example I used in secure, oh no, no, in support town, village, and city parks. When I spoke to Mayor Noble, he sounded excited because we can maintain our own park, which is the Midtown Linear Park. Right now, the city maintains
it. I was also going to add that I appreciate you putting in the language about increasing access to our waterways, which is something that I've been advocating for a while. And just kind of as a quick update, in the parks resolution that we passed, the ARPA resolution, you know, there was supposed to be a third round of letters going out to the town supervisors, you know, for a third round of funding for parks projects. I've been informed that that is no longer in the works, and that funding has been allocated elsewhere. And so the project that I was hoping to, you know, have funding for to advocate for this water access is apparently no longer available.
Mm.
And I wanted you to be aware of that, and perhaps that is something that we can work on moving forward.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. I'll be at the ARPA meeting on Thursday.
Oh, excellent.
So to bring together some of those comments, I would have a separate focus area on trails and trails networks. That could be both water trails and land-based trails.
Thank you.
I think that if one source of funding evaporates, another source needs to be sought.
Yes.
So we won't lose track of the need to develop some of those projects.
Right.
It is true that trails encompass, they are public space, and they are one of the major sources of recreation in Ulster County. But I think by having them separate, you basically acknowledge that they do have established funding streams that the county has made very good use of over the past many years. And they are a particular type of economic development. When connected into parks and municipal areas. So I think having them separate would be good. This seems ambitious. I would just caution that we created funding for the our agricultural program, not a separate department, but a program with a program administrator. And it took us about 18 months to be clear enough about what we wanted for that person to do to really have a job description for the kind of person and look with, you know, what civil service positions were available. And there's some research that goes into doing this well. And that program was simpler than this. So I think that the element...
18 months?
18 months, yeah. And now we have it starting up. And I think everybody that I've talked to is very excited about the way the program is being stood up and the new director or manager of that program. So that front-end work achieves a result that I think you get if you allow yourself to take the time that's needed to get all the stakeholders and really work through this. So I'm not opposed to having a timeline. I just think the timeline should accommodate what you're encountering.
Please think of them all as working documents. Take a red pen, rip them up, and get all the feedback back to me. In fact, the term public spaces as its own component was from legislative feedback. Sometimes we talk about how sidewalks are a public space. So I wrote sidewalks, plazas, and gazebos. In Europe, they really embrace piazzas and different types of plazas that we don't really do there. Legislator Stewart.
On that same vein, I was just going to suggest that, and I know I personally would like to see this trails added somewhere in the title of the department.
Okay.
Parks, trails, public spaces, whatever.
Okay. Thank you. Legislator Green?
I just want to get clarification on reallocated. If funds are allocated, how did it get reallocated?
That is an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're going back to the park.
We voted last month to use that, what was left, to give to the village of Ellenville to bail them out so they can continue to operate.
But we voted. What I'm asking about is how the funds got reallocated.
If we voted. The legislature reallocated it last month.
We allocated and then we changed the allocation.
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't realize it was this money that
Well the particular situation that I was referring to is something that's going to come up at the next meeting at Economic Development, and there is a resolution put forth. And actually, I believe is this your resolution for the ag coordinator?
I don't think so.
Oh.
It's now the executive's resolution.
Okay, so anyway, money that had been allocated in ARPA for municipal parks, the funds that have not been allocated thus far were reassigned to go to a ag coordinator.
The ag coordinator was funded separately. So.
Well, I was reading the resolution, and that's what it stated.
Okay, I need to.
Yeah, I have it here, which I can have a hard copy, which I can share with you. But anyway, I was trying to figure out how, yeah, I understand the situation with Ellenville as being, you know, a unique and urgent thing.
If I may, that was separate funds. Those were unallocated ARPA funds that went toward Ellenville. The parks mm-hmm. funding was $2 million, and two rounds allowed us to spend almost the $2 million, but we didn't spend all of it. So there was supposed to be a third round. And that was reality.
There was supposed to be a third round, and I was told the third round is not forthcoming. Let me see if I could find that.
I think I have the resolution here. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, I was.
But if anyone is interested, there is an ARPA committee meeting this Thursday. If you want to learn more about the last of the ARPA funding for the county. I believe it's all been allocated, but it hasn't been spent. Moving on, I put something on our agenda, and I'm happy to see audience members who came to hear about it. I'm one of the legislative members of the Trails Advisory Council with Legislator Nolan and Legislator Stewart. Sometimes the diesel engine for the Catskill Mountain Railroad comes up as an issue with particulate matter that is polluting the air and the passengers at times. So I want to work with the Catskill Mountain Railroad over time to figure out a solution so that we're not creating an environmental issue and making progress with businesses that we are supportive of. So I think to give a little more information from the Trails Advisory that I've participated in and what I'm learning is Steve Rice is passionate about helping make sure this isn't an issue for the county. Steve, can I call on you to speak at all?
Sure. Now, I am concerned about the levels of PM2.5 that come off the CMR engines. They're all older engines. They predate any of the environmental laws, and so they're not, they don't have to meet any of those emission requirements. So we can calculate, based on the tables the EPA gives us, that they're generating between 1.1 and 1.8 tons of air pollution each year, just running 300 to 317 trains. The pollution that's hard to quantify, that's even more dangerous, is the danger of the idling motors, which it takes a long time to heat those engines up. And I don't want to take anything away from the railroad. They're maintaining some very old and unique equipment, but it just burns very, very dirty. And so I know that the railroad is already cooperating on measuring the air, and I hope to work with them on that. And in fact, I'm looking to get some devices donated for use possibly. And I'm also going to ask the Department of Health get involved a little bit here, because though I'm focused on PM 2.5, the other aspects of the pollution may have things that I don't recognize. But the PM 2.5 is, to me, the cancer causer and is the one that needs to be tackled first for public safety. And I have a white paper on with National Institute for Health Links, if anybody would like to see that, that shows where that data comes from. And it's 2019 and on data, and it addresses the change in the levels of PM 2.5 that's now being permitted by the EPA. So I want to see that we get in compliance with that, and then beyond that, help the railroad find the technology that brings their pollution down to something we can all live with.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, just for people who are coming into this conversation mid-conversation, this concern has been raised and research brought forward by Steve Rice and others for many years. And in the most recent permit that was issued to the Catskill Mountain Railroad, there's a requirement that there be monitoring in cooperation with Ulster County. And so I think we need to work that out so that monitoring gets in place as quickly as possible. There are two resources that I know of that I think the county can serve as an introduction to, and then the railroad needs to have an independent consultant, either one of these that I can recommend, anybody that anybody else can recommend. The group I've worked most closely with in my environmental work is a group called the Environmental Health Project out of Pennsylvania, but they've done monitoring in New York that I participated in for compressor station locations and fracking. They have used what's called a spec monitor. And it's a version that these lightweight citizen science monitors are now a mobile version of. They use those spec monitors to monitor PM 2.5 predominantly, also PM 10, and they did testing, and they found that was a surrogate in those settings for other volatile organic compounds that we were interested in. I don't think those are as much a problem with the diesel engines, but if they are a problem, they will probably track along with particulate matter, as I understand this. So I think they have programs that they help set up and run for people that are faced with potential polluting sources. So they may be a resource. And then over at Bard, Kevin Smith actually could tell us there's a one of the instructors has been doing monitoring for the city of Kingston.
Bard is probably going to be part of this. I've been talking to them about making devices available, and they're willing to make some devices available on loan to the railroad. And I just have to find out some technical details, but I've already made that connection behind the scenes.
Well, that's really good, but one of the things I would like to see, and you know, we as a committee, I think this committee and Public Works can be helpful in figuring this all out, but I think we need not only to have the devices go on, but we need somebody to help determine where they should go and what the results mean. And so if Bard can cooperate, and it's Duker?
Eli Duker.
If Eli Duker can help to coordinate and manage a program like that at a, you know, at a reasonable price, then I think that is what the county should ask the CMRR to do. And similarly, if they can't, then Environmental Health Project or somebody that either of those two might suggest as I think we need a consultant who can guide the county and the CMRR all the way through this process.
Yeah. So that makes me think there are students at Bard who might want to take it on as a project.
I believe that Bard will be a key player here, and if I might. They collect all of the data, and they compare. They want to know what everything is going on. They don't want to just read the train. They want to know what the train ambient operating conditions are, so that nothing, you know, gets blamed completely on the train, that everybody can see what's going on. And there are public stations of the type that we're talking about at public library to give views now, so we have the baseline comparison available.
I believe at the Midtown Neighborhood Center as well.
Deputy Executive LaValle.
Just to, the county has been in contact with CMRR on the Sherry issue. You know, I think there are certain things that are written into the permit, which we will work with them on. However, like a larger study, larger monitoring, we'll have to discuss what that would look like. I mean, I think there's certain things that are certainly within that permit. But, you know, it might be a separate project to look at the corridor.
And I want to thank everyone who worked to get that language in the RFP. It's the first time that it's mentioned particulate matter and the engine. And so that's why it's on the agenda. I think we're making progress. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, there's particulate matter that, according to research studies, is worse from the engine of the train into the cabins directly behind those engines. So part of this concern is for the passengers on the train. But the engines also do contribute to ambient air quality. And one of the concerns was raised about continuing to run those trains during the periods of diminished air quality during the fires from Canada. So I think we need to look at whether we need to have a policy on that, or if there's cooperation in terms of setting up guidelines of how the CMRR is going to work. And I think the priority should be on determining whether or not the CMRR follows the multiple research studies in multiple countries that show a problem in the cabins for the passengers, and then secondarily regional air quality. And that would be of most concern for me where the trains are parked and sometimes idle, and whether or not that idling is on an intermittent basis causing elevations in particulate matter and possibly other contaminants that are of concern.
I think this is a perfect time to introduce the director of Catskill Mountain Railroad, Ernie Hunt, came to just let us know what the organization is working on.
Sure. No, thank you for the opportunity to speak. And again, I want to thank the county for extending our permit for 5 years in January. And it gives us a nice time to really try to solve these problems. It's hard to do when we had 1 year or 2 year renewals. Because now we know that we'll be here for 5 years, it gives us the time to really solve this, which of course we wanted to do earlier. Air monitoring, we have had some dialogue with the county about some equipment that we can install on our railroad, and we're working to try to get that set up as quickly as we can. To set up, it has to be able to record the data and download it to the cloud properly so that it could be sent to the county, that sort of thing. And the suggestions we've had from the county look to be something that we can work with to do that. On the larger issue of particulate matter reduction, I did listen to Steve's very passionate speech at the last legislature, and we've been working on this for a while. And it turns out there's actually quite a bit of technology available out there. In the beginning, we had thought we had to do a massive change to one of the engines that would take a grant to do this. But we're learning that there's actually technology available in the filtration area of technology that allows us to filter the particulates and other things out of the exhaust of the engine. And it's a much, much cheaper way of doing it. We have to change the filters from time to time, that sort of thing. But it's technology that is being used quite a bit in the industry, especially among railroads like ourselves that are not operating continuously. We operate a few hours each day, or each, and not every day. And it's a combination of maybe three different steps that we have discovered that we can use to decrease the emissions of locomotives. And we should be able to do all three. I won't go on a big speech, but at some point, we're going to put this all in writing to the county and work out the plan so you all can see it. But it's very interesting that there's a lot of technology available to reduce this that's affordable to us. And again, the real issue is whether it will actually work. And that's something that we have to work with the manufacturer of this. But it's our intent to move to a standard that's specified in the permit for reduction of not just particulates, but other things as well, and it looks like it's something that we can a plan that should be implementable that may not even require us having to get a grant from someone. So that is very positive. I still have a little more research to do. I don't want to put something forth until I know it's going to really be actionable. But based on my conversations with some manufacturers, this technology is out there. It's been out for about 10 years, and it's been implemented on not just railroads, but also other kind of diesel engines around the country. It actually comes out of Canada, though. Kind of interesting. The Canadians are a little ahead of the Americans on this. And by the way, we are also working on bringing EV charging stations to the railroad. I've been doing a lot of research on that. Level 2, which is not too hard to do. Level 3, if we can get that done, that is, allows us to charge much faster, which would be, the time that you would plug the train, your car in while you're on the train, you come back and it's fully charged. And actually, for TrueCar's three-phase power, we can actually plug the train into that too, which means we don't have to run anything on the train if we have three-phase power. So there's a lot of very interesting things that we're working on that I'm going to try to put into some kind of a report to the county in the next 30 days. But it's very promising, and we're not the only place in the U.S. that's worried about this issue. It's just going on in many different places. The good thing is that other people have been working on. And again, the technology, this kind of filtering technology, is about 10 years old. And it's been being used more and more, and it's relatively affordable. So we've got a lot of things that we're working on. We want to try to address this problem, recognize the health issues, and I'm hoping we get a plan in place that will be, as far as I know, no other tourist river in the country has something like this in place, as far as I know. So could, if we were able to pull this off here, something could be replicated in other parts of the state and the country, which I think would be kind of a, you know, a really great thing, not just for Casco Mountain Railroad, but for Ulster County, for the Department of the Environment, everybody else. Trails Committee. So I think it's, you know, I think this is something that's very promising, and I'm hoping, you know, maybe the next month or so I can get something on writing that I could really show people. I mean, I have all the information, but I don't want to, make sure it really works before I make any promises.
I'll be in touch.
But anyway, we're looking forward to working with everybody trying to solve this problem.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Hunt. We're moving on to legislator questions. Legislator Green.
I have a question about biodiesel, and I don't know if it's feasible or not, but I didn't know whether you were considering it, and it's my understanding that maybe less polluting and therefore the pollution control technology could be more effective.
Well, it's, we have sort of three steps we're looking at, and biodiesel is one of the three steps. Generally, railroads are using a mix of 20% biodiesel and 80% diesel now. Now, that will reduce things by 20% because the particulates that come out of biodiesel are biodegradable. Now, if you can do more than 20%, then it's even better. But that's something that we're going to have to try. We're going to try to put some run biodiesel in the engine and see how it handles it. To some extent, having earlier and simpler engine makes it easier to deal with these things than a more complicated, newer engine, which is a little counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. But our engines are, since they are built in 1950, they're simple. You know, so like if your car in 1950, you open it up and there's just a lot of room under the hood. You know, the car today is full of stuff. But in fact, the fact that it's a fairly simple engine, in some ways, may make it easier for us to run biodiesel. Again, I don't want to overpromise here. We have to really try it and see what happens. Biodiesel is one of the three things that will work.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And I have one other thing, if I may.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage working with Bard and Eli Duker because from the work that I've done, at Clearwater, they have, it's a really good program, and if it was done as a collaboration, then the students would be learning both about monitoring and reducing pollution, but they'd also be learning about how to participate in a collaboration. Mm-hmm. So, just
nice.
My suggestion.
Beautiful. Thank you. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I think that's a very encouraging direction of the filtering. It should work. Mm-hmm. And you may remember that I actually requested that we put into the permit that the CMRR immediately start running filters in any closed cabin. Those filters are available. The Environmental Health Project recommends it for people who cannot move away from a compressor station or fracking drilling site. And they work. They greatly reduce the amount of exposure. Also, cleaning all the surfaces but between runs. So there's quite a bit that can be done so that whatever particulate matter is there is removed from the closed airspace and is removed from surfaces where it can get stirred up. A lot of this research parallels research on the impacts of smoking, and there's now research on what's called third-hand smoking, which is you have a smoker in your household, and after that smoker leaves, the couches and the pillows release some of the nicotine and the particulate matter, the contaminants, in a third-hand way. So you have first-hand smoking, second-hand, third-hand. I think that it's completely analogous because the components that you're dealing with in terms of burning out of diesel and burning a cigarette or a methane stove in a closed space are very, very similar. And the particulate matter carries all the other contaminants. So these filters, if you get rid of the particulate matter, you get rid of a lot of the other contaminants as well. And if you are going to have any delay in starting, you know, filtering from the engine, which would be great because that would keep it out of the ambient environment as well. But I think it would be worth investing. These filters are the size of a desktop printer at this point, and they're not expensive.
If you could send me some information on that, that'd be terrific.
And as I get a report from Ernie, I'll let you all know. Any other questions before we move on?
Yeah. I just want to say I also think it's a great idea to be working with BARD on this program and working on the filtration, good things. I was wondering, you had mentioned that you're thinking about putting EV chargers at the train stations. I was wondering, are you looking into perhaps converting the train itself to electric?
Well, it's interesting. I've been back and forth with the director of the URR about this issue. And he's been investigating battery technology. And
who's the URR?
Dillard and Ulster.
D-U-R-R.
Yeah, sorry. I forget. You all don't know all these terms.
Yeah. And, we deal with a lot of alphabet soup. So.
But he's been actually researching the issue of battery locomotives. And the diesel locomotives are actually diesel electrics. The motors are actually electric motors, and they're located in what we call the trucks, where the wheels are. And the diesel is actually a generator that generates power, and that delivers power to the electric motors. Essentially, a diesel electric is essentially a hybrid, because there's no batteries that also work with it. And so essentially, what a battery would do is it would essentially replace the diesel engine. Electric motors and what we call the trucks, the wheels, would be unchanged. And again, it's been a little slow because the railroad industry's been slow to do this. But there have been battery locomotives put together. In theory, you can actually have a car behind the engine, which has got the battery. It doesn't have to be in the engine. It just has to be able to hook up. The theory is a pretty good one. The question, of course, is how much battery power do you need to actually move a whole train? And is the battery technology sufficient to do that? And that's something that's is being researched right now. But it's definitely something that is on the horizon. It's just a question of whether the batteries can really have the juice, so to speak, to take a train, not just going this way, but going up 500 feet and back down again. But that's something we're also looking at as well. And again, they're looking it up at the Delaware and Ulster Railroad as well.
Great question. Thank you. Any other questions or new business before we move on to old business from the legislature?
Just about the previous topic. The one thing I would just really suggest is that you make sure that you're not just measuring in the passenger coaches, and not just deploying filters in the passenger coaches, but in the locomotive cabs as well. My brother is a retired locomotive engineer of some 45 years. He has stage 4 cancer. I asked him recently, does he think about his work environment being a potential cause or contributor to his illness? And he looked at me and he said, every single day.
Mm. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to old business. I have the UCRRA reform update. Legislator Dean, would you like to tell us? I think Legislator Stewart is handling Climate Smart today. Do you want to tell us how you were at the meeting this week? Do you want to do an update at all?
There's so much to say. Let me just summarize and say that the Reform Committee has divided up the work into waste diversion, disposal,
and the intergovernmental issues, including the contract, a resolution that was offered last year to expand the board of the UCRA to be more inclusive, and ultimately the fate of the UCRA. And what the Reform Committee has been able to accomplish is to go through a list that was derived from the unfinished zero waste implementation plan with regard to waste diversion, and get comments and see if there's consensus on recommendations, and at some point we'll write that up and then review it to see what recommendations we will be making, and we'll be moving on to disposal at the same time as the UCRA is going through. They've hired a consultant to look at landfill and other disposal issues, and then out of what can we divert, what do we have to manage as solid waste, then the intergovernmental issues will be the third phase. So I think that's kind of a summary of where we are.
Thank you. Anything to add from the committee? Director Ryder, you want to add anything? Or
just I attended the first meeting on Friday, member of the public still, but not the first, but the person that I've been involved in. A lot of the focus on that was around still the Reuse Innovation Center and conversations around centralized versus decentralized, or a hybrid of the two. We could have been like a whole hub and spoke plan, I guess, using some of the town transfer stations or town halls as sites where people would bring things to reuse and try and reuse it locally, and then maybe eventually having it come to a center at some point.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any questions?
I also want to give credit where credit is due, that Amanda LaValle was the one who helped organize that information. And I think when you have your information organized and focused, otherwise, you know, we still tend to bounce around a lot, but I think that's important. But the other thing that has come up repeatedly, and I think it's important this committee know about it, is that because, this is my interpretation, but because when we empowered flow control, the agency has been very proud not to come back to the legislature for a net service fee. And that's great. And they've managed, they've balanced their budget with the tipping fee. But what that's caused is a focus in terms of enforcement on getting the waste to the agency so they have the revenue, and that it doesn't escape to the haulers or out of the county or whatever. That focus of enforcement, I think, has taken away from enforcement of existing solid waste and recycling laws, and also the more recent composting law. So once enforcement seems lax, then people stop obeying the law. Now, it doesn't take a lot of education and one or two examples of enforcement for the haulers, for example, or restaurants, or you know, other facilities that are regulated by our laws. These are Ulster County laws and state laws, but speaking specifically of Ulster County, the agency, I'm not clear on the compliance officer or the enforcement, but I am clear that there's active enforcement to ensure flow control and not so active to the point of simply not enforcing our other laws. And we do, countywide, we do have a hearing officer that could hear complaints if they existed. So I'm hoping that I brought this up at the agency meetings and with the new executive director, and I'm hoping that this will get addressed because it's a form of maximizing waste diversion. If the haulers and others who are regulated know that what the law is, but then know that the laws will be enforced, then that right there increases the amount of waste diversion. And ultimately, the more waste we divert and the less odors or toxicity and the less truck traffic, the less impact a landfill, if we can site a landfill, the surrounding community will experience.
Thank you very much. Anything to add before we move on to the last agenda item? Legislator Stewart, can you just give a quick progress report on climate smart schools?
Sure, and Manager, feel free to pipe in if you have anything that you want to add. You know, last session, Manager and I were not as successful as we hoped in getting funding for our Climate Smart Schools initiative. We now have several educators that are members of the legislative body, and so we're looking forward to working with them to fine-tune our proposals. One thing that we want to be sure that everyone is aware of, that like earlier initiatives that we had discussed, you know, we're not trying to set out mandates or force schools to do anything, since it's actually outside of our purview to begin with. And we also, and I'm a former teacher myself, and you know, teachers are under so much pressure to perform so many different roles these days, that just saying you have to do X, Y, and Z is not what we are looking to do. I did reach out yesterday to Director Ryder just to kind of initiate a conversation with him. OCRA has a great outreach to schools now. Your educator outreach, Tanisha White, and Angelina Brands. I've spoken with both of them in the past. I also have spoken to them with, and Manager and I both have spoken to them with the former acting director who was there, the interim director who was there before you, Anna Rapola, and she was very interested in the project. And so we look forward to working with OCRA to strengthen that relationship of outreach to schools. And this will be something that we will be discussing further. But since Mark just came on board, obviously he's had perhaps bigger fish to fry right off the bat than dealing with us. But this is something that we definitely look forward to working with you on. And in addition to outreach to OCRA, you know, Manager has a great relationship with the director at BOCES, and we have been in contact with him previously. So that is something that we're, you know, these are all details that remain to be worked out. I also had some recent outreach with the New York State, the teachers union. And I know Matt Joe has spoken to them before too. So there's a lot of things in progress, there's a lot of wheels moving, and we look forward to, you know, kind of tightening this up, and we will be reporting back to the committee frequently and looking for people's input.
Yeah. And I'll just add that one of the benefits of going to Albany for our legislative trainings are the people we meet.
Yes.
Legislator Green met the person at NYSERDA who works on Climate Smart, and we'll be in touch with him soon.
Yes, and also there is now a state bill pending in both the House and the, the Assembly and the Senate, is a climate education bill that is relatively relatively new, but they are seeking support for this. Unlike our plan, which is to provide support, direct schools to grant funding, and be basically a supportive program for the next step they want to take, the state would be across the board, and it would increase the amount of education at grade appropriate levels so that students that are coming up in a world where climate is changing are prepared and have an education and not just kind of learn what they know about climate change from Facebook and social media.
Right. And for those of you who have not participated in these discussions previously, my apologies. Our program is kind of like a three-tiered program that would work with the schools in facilities management to be sure that, you know, they have recycling programs, that they have LED lights, that they have, you know, green technologies powering the buildings. It's also working with teachers in creating curriculum that incorporates environmental awareness and climate change action into their lesson plans. And then it is also dealing with the students and the teachers in on projects that and student outreach that, you know, that the students could participate in directly. So it's kind of this three-pronged approach. Like I say, it's a work in progress, and we look forward to working with you all on this project.
Because we have a meeting starting right after this at 6 o'clock, can you keep it under 30 seconds, please?
Just a quick public comment. Going back to going green, I have a friend who's putting an 18-kilowatt photovoltaic system on his house and got a letter from Central Hudson, our famed utility, saying that he had two choices: either to pay for a transformer, which they don't have any, and it would take 18 to 24 months to get the transformer, or throttle down the system to the point where he's not sure it would be feasible to even do the system. So I'm just bringing that up, that the state of the grid and the utility we're dealing with are not very helpful.
Thank you. And if you'd like to add anything, just find a legislator in the lobby.
Yeah, the county exec, by the way, has a copy of the letter Central Hudson wrote to this Ulster County resident.
Thank you. Deputy Liddell.
Just a quick comment on green schools, the climate smart schools, and because it also relates to an earlier comment from Legislator Stewart. We're moving ahead with, we reached out to NYSERDA for a contact on electric school buses. And, you know, in the spirit of, there are certain contractions that with our Department of the Environment and other staff who are doing a million and one things, we can do that are kind of easy lists in order to support the schools. We've reached out for their contact on electric school buses, with the thought being to hold a workshop at UCAT where they can hear about the program and the support from the state, and then see a bus, ride on an electric bus, see the charging infrastructure, talk to folks about maintenance, use, how they operate, et cetera, for operation.
That's right.
So it's really kind of like less than a half day kind of thing. It's us connecting the dots and sharing kind of. That's the next level.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.